morning. Pastor Tim is on vacation this week, so we want to thank Terry for bringing our sermon this morning. I only have one announcement, and that is we have 10 poinsettias left over. So if you want one, give for yourself or a friend or whatever, please take them this morning. Next week they go on Pastor Tim's mulch pile. So does anybody else have an announcement? Okay, we will start this morning's service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn is Good Christian Friends Rejoice. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Almighty God, you have filled us with the new light of the Word who became flesh and lived among us. Let the light of our faith shine in all that we do. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning at the 7th verse. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north, and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together. A great company they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd, a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priest their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 147 responsively. Worship the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. He has established peace on your borders. He satisfies you with the finest wheat.
He sends out his hand to the earth, and his word runs in history.
He gives snow like wool. He scatters hoarfrost like ashes.
He scatters the sand like a river runs, who can stand against his soul?
He sends forth his word and melts them. He blows with his wind, and the waters flow.
He declares
He has not done so to any other nation. To them, he has not revealed his judgments. Alleluia. The second lesson is from Ephesians, the first chapter beginning with the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming to the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. And then if you would pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, shed your light upon our word today. May it touch our hearts, minds, and souls. In your grace, amen. The very famous Gospel of John, the first chapter, where we hear about Jesus being the Word and also the light. The Word become flesh, the light of all people, the light that no darkness can overcome. And for the Israelites, that was something very, very important because they were living in what they considered a very deep darkness. They were in their own country, but they were not in control. The Romans, with their powerful army and their big government, had say in almost every aspect of their life. And then they had a king. They were able to keep their king, but because he was such a kind of paper king because of the rule of Rome, he comes kind of corrupt as well. He is rich, and he comes with all the trappings of the office, and he's going to do whatever he can to keep his office. Then there's the religious leaders. Now, they have a very, very tough job, too, because they're trying to keep the faith amongst this heathen group who has different gods, different faith. And in the history of the Israelite people, when they went into Canaan, they conquered those people and lived there. Those people also had an influence in their faith as they lived there. All of a sudden, that faith that they had started to try to influx into their faith, into the Jewish faith. And they found that as a be history. Wherever they were taken and put into another country, after a while, it just was a natural thing for these things to try to seep into their faith. And so they wanted to keep the faith. So they were constantly emphasizing the word. And also at the same time as the religious leaders, they also had a say in trying to keep the peace with the Romans. So as far as the Israelites were concerned, they were in darkness. And of course, they had the promise of the Messiah. And that's what they wanted to see. They wanted this Messiah to come and save them from the Romans and take them back to where they were. But that's not what they got. They got this word become flesh and this light in the darkness. They didn't get a king. They didn't get an army. They got somebody preaching God's love and grace. As Pastor said last week, sometimes we don't always live in the light. We sometimes live in the darkness. People at Christmas time sometimes have bad things happening to them. Their life is rough, or there's death, or whatever. Some people don't see the light at Christmas. But Jesus comes as that light. And I guess it was kind of ironic that as I'm preparing for this, on Christmas Eve, the storms roll in. And sometimes it's kind of hard for us to understand what it's like to be in the darkness with, as far as our life goes. But I thought that was a very, very perfect example of it. Because I don't know what part of the grid, I understand some people on that side of the creek didn't experience this, but we had a couple of outages and then about an hour worth of darkness with no power. And it was like 1 a.m. on Christmas morning. And you don't realize how much power darkness has over you until you're in the dark. And you start to realize what maybe these people are going through. Because, for example, that stool that you think is there in the dark, that you know has always been there, but you're trying to feel yourself around in the dark, and you think you're past it, and boom, you hit your ankle or your shin on it. And you realize that the things you thought were there maybe not are there anymore. Or perhaps you realize that all of a sudden there's absolutely no sound. And you have nothing to do. Because there's no TV, there's no radio, there's no sound, there's no nothing. And then you, as the darkness kind of sets in, as you realize it's not coming back on after those first few times where it popped back on, you start to realize how overcoming it becomes. How helpless you start to feel. And of course, the first thing you want to do is you want to get the light back in. You want to find the flashlight, or you want to grab that phone and turn it on and get that light back in. But then you have another fear. What if the batteries run out? What if they're not new batteries? What if my charge runs out? I can't plug it in. So darkness can be very overcoming to people. And that's the kind of light that Jesus became. I remember sitting, one of the favorite things that we did as a family is during the Christmas time, we would go in at night, turn off all the lights, and turn the Christmas tree on. We always had blinking lights on. And it was amazing how we would sit there. She'd put a record on, and it would be amazing how we would sit there and just see the lights on the roof and on the walls, and how the blinking lights sometimes would catch with the music and go with the beat or catch the words. And I remember how peaceful that was, even in that dark room. That's the kind of light that Jesus brings to us. But what does it have to do with us? Well, we could say that we live in the darkness somewhat with all that's going on in the world. And he comes every Christmas. But, you know, for all the darkness in the world that we have, the rumors of wars and killings and terrorism and all of that, we need the light too. This week is Epiphany, the wise men's turn to come to the manger, where they've been following a light in the dark sky to come to see the light of the world, the Word made flesh. They're from foreign countries, but they are also seen as one of the higher ups in society. Whereas the shepherds, on the other hand, saw the lights in the sky and were led to that light of the world, and they were the lowest in society. And yet when you look at the manger scene, even if they're all there or if there's just part of them there, it is the first Christian worship service in the world. Us worshiping the gift of the Word made flesh and the light that overcomes all darkness. We call him the very first Christmas gift, but he gives gifts to us. And one of them is that picture of that manger scene. Because just like the batteries, if we don't stay plugged in to that light and that Word made flesh, we can run out too. Also in our lives as Christians, the darkness may come. Do we have that light ready for when the darkness comes? He's provided us those gifts, this place. And just like that, those people from all across the world came to worship, we have worship also. It says twice in our second lesson, to the praise of his glory. Twice it says that in that lesson. And we know he's with us because in Revelations it talks about that word at the beginning and the word at the end. In Revelation 21 it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. In Matthew 28 he even puts in the middle part when he's ascending into heaven. He says, lo, I am with you always. He's with us all the time. All we have to do is plug in. He gives us the worship service. He gives us baptism, where we share with the children. But we also share our baptismal promise of being with him at the end, through death, through his life, death, and resurrection. We have his Lord's Supper, where we gather together too, as the family gathered at that first manger scene, but also there to receive whatever we have in our lives at that time, the light or the darkness, come and have forgiveness and then walk out in the light through his body and blood. He gives us Sunday school and Bible studies and times together to gather together and share the fellowship and share the word amongst ourselves and study that word so we learn from that word. It's also important that we remember he's the light that guides us. There's a story of World War II. The Lexington Carrier Group was churning into uncharted waters in the Pacific. And they see a light in front of them. The captain says, let's keep an eye on it. And sure enough, it's coming right at them. So he gets on the radio and says, light in the distance, ship, please, to avoid collision, please change your direction 15 degrees to the north. The radio comes back on and says, sir, I'm sorry, but you need to change your direction 15 degrees to the south. Carrier captain goes, okay. I'm sorry, sir, but you need to change 15 degrees to the north to avoid collision. After a few minutes, the voice comes back and says, no, sir, I suggest you change your course 15 degrees to the south. Well, now the captain's getting perturbed. It's getting closer. He's going, how dare he tell me what to do? And so he gets on the line and goes, sir, I am a captain of the carrier group, and I have two destroyers, two cruisers, and eight destroyers. I suggest you move 15 degrees to your north. Pause. Then the radio comes in and says, I'm sorry, sir, but I suggest you move 15 degrees to the north, for, sir, I am a lighthouse. Sometimes we need that guiding light, kind of like the Pharisees needed their guiding light. They were gotten so sense in the word and thought they had their way and they knew it all that they didn't have to worry about learning something new. And they did. Jesus came and taught them that that word has more meaning than what you're giving it. It has grace and love in it. The Greek word for our term word is logos. Logos is a Greek word that translates just briefly into word. But if you go into the translation further, it goes beyond that. It says it's principle, thought, speech, and word. In our lesson, it says we are the children of God. Do we live logos, or do we just hear the word? My wife made me a shirt. I was thinking about wearing it, but it's long sleeve and heavy cotton. So consequently, I didn't think it would be very comfortable today. But I don't know if you can see it. I'll hold it up and I'll tell you what it says on it. But it's the three wise men. And on it, it says, but wait, there's myrrh. Of course, the myrrh meaning more. See, that's the thing. We're the more. Soon the lights are going to go out. Trees are going to be put up. The poinsettias, as Jay said, are going to be gone. The Advent wreath's going to be gone. Where's the light going to come from? I told the kids in the Advent children's sermon that if you stand back in the dark and just the Christ candle is shining, if you're so far back in the dark, no one sees you. And no one sees but that light. But if you walk forward and you get into the light, two things happen. One, the light shines on your face and people can see you. And two, that light is now spilling onto you and you're reflecting that light. The more is us. To live the logos in principle, thought, speech, and word. It's up to us to be the lights out there when there's no more darkness. Or when there is darkness in the lives of people. They need somebody to stand there and be the flashlight. They need us. He needs us to be the light in the world for those that haven't seen the light yet or don't know it. And we need the light to be charged and ready to be more. I heard a song the other night. It says, maybe feel what heaven felt on that Christmas night. That's what the gifts are that he gave us, so that we can feel that
Christmas night every single day in our life, not just on Christmas. That we can be the myrrh, we can be the more in the lives of ourselves and in others, and be the logos. Amen. We join together in our next hymn, When Christmas Morn is Dawning. Before we move on, I wanted to share a little something else with you. It's a song that hit my mind when I saw this as well. It's an old one, but a goodie. And it's one that my youth group learned as the very first song we ever sang. And it fits the words perfectly, I think, with the text. It's called Thy Word.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
Listen to the verses.
When I feel afraid and think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side. Help me love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
I thought it tied together all the scriptures very well. So now I ask you, as children of light, to stand and confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With joy and gratitude for the gift of Jesus, let us draw near to our Heavenly Father in prayer, asking his mercy for the church, the world, and all who need his loving kindness. Holy God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that special gift. Thank you for coming to be with us, to share our life, and to share God's life with us. He grew in wisdom and understanding and gives us the Holy Spirit so that we too can have that wonderful gift. He takes our sin and gives us his pure, holy grace and love. He is your unfailing light in our darkest days and places. Lord, in your mercy. Your Son adorned the earthly temple with his presence as a baby and as a growing lad. He is your holy of holies in our midst. Make your church a place fit for his habitation. Grant that we may adorn his dear presence with faithful words, heartfelt worship, and deeds of love and mercy. May it draw all people to Jesus' feet, there to learn from him the good news of our salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Bless this congregation so that people gladly come here to encounter you in word and sacrament, in fellowship, learning, and service. Make us wise in the ways of charity and faithfulness, so that all may find your precepts to be sweeter than honey. Lord, in your mercy. We pray your favor upon this new year, upon our hopes for a better future, and upon all who find no release from sorrows and cares of the previous years. Give us wisdom and strength to seek your will for our common good. Crown not just this new year, but all of our years with the blessings of your peace. Draw us toward that eternal new year that you alone shall bring. Lord, in your mercy. Solomon prayed for wisdom to lead your people according to your precepts. The wise men heeded your guiding and warning words. The prophets attended to your wisdom and counsel. Give that wisdom to all our earthly rulers. Fill them with deep love for justice, mercy, wisdom, and integrity. Lord, in your mercy. These are perilous times, dear Lord. Guide, strengthen, and protect our military and first responders. May they accomplish all that is in accordance with your will and return them swiftly to their loved ones. Bring them healing, hope, and renewed opportunities to serve you in the world. Lord, in your mercy. Be the light and salvation of everyone who calls on you in times of trouble. We plead especially today for James Rohan, Debbie Schaefer, Shirley Jenry, Joan Gohmert, Lynn Magura, and Kathy Glore. Grant them health, wholeness, and hope. Ease the burdens and bless the labors of all who care for them. Refresh their spirits and bind us all together in cords of mutual care and compassion. Lord, in your mercy. The generations rise and fall and pass before you, O Lord. We entrust our beloved dead to your merciful care. Comfort those who grieve and whose hope falters. Give us eyes to serve suffering around us, lips to pray and encourage, hands to extend in blessing, and hearts to beat with compassion and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you for hearing our prayers, dear Lord. We entrust them and our lives into your merciful care. Amen. Our worship continues with our offering. Let us pray. Merciful God, in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for many a sign of that love, and that may continue to share in your divine life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We give them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father. Through Christ our Lord, sharing our life, he lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to light and his own brilliant light. And so with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. When the congregation last gathered together for the celebration of Holy Communion, we heard again the wonderful story of God's mighty acts and of the love shown to us in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, with thanksgiving, we remember that. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We were given the assurance of the Lord's presence through this gift of the Holy Spirit. Now receive the same bread of life and the same cup of blessing, that we may be strengthened through these gifts. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, for all things are now ready. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his most amazing grace. Amen. We stand as we sing our post-communion canticle.
Amen.
Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. We join together in our final hymn, First Noel. So children of light, it's time to go. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As you go in peace, we share the peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.